Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
All right, everyone, we're going to spend some time digging into God's Word. So if you have your Bibles, whether that's a physical Bible or a digital Bible on your phone, get that out. We're going to be looking at some different passages throughout the book of 1 Samuel. That is 1 Samuel. It's towards the front, and the book of 1 Samuel is mostly about Samuel, Saul, and David, three guys who are key characters in the history and in the story of the Bible. And so we're going to be looking throughout different parts of 1 Samuel. How many of you have ever had problems before in your life? Problems of any kind. Just the smallest little annoyance to the biggest crisis possible. How many of us have ever had problems? Let's be honest, folks. There we go. It's all of us. Some of us, we have problems within our marriage. These are either past or present, right? We've had struggles in our marriage. And it seems to be that the reason the problem happens is because, well, our spouse just doesn't listen to us. They don't respect us. They go and do their own thing. They're lazy. They're not helping out around the house. And the reason our marriage is struggling is because our spouse is an idiot. Sometimes we have problems with our kids. Amen? They're being disobedient. They're causing troubles at school, picking fights, not doing their homework. They're misbehaving in public. And we look at our kids and go, man, my kids are idiots. They're causing me so many problems. They are a big problem. Some of us, we have money struggles. And we're feeling stretched and we're feeling stressed about money. And we're looking at our money problems and going, oh, you know, it's just everything costs too much. The taxes are too high. Those tariffs are screwing up the economy. My money problems are coming from these places where everything's costing too much and I just can't afford it all. Some of us, we're having problems because we have these bad habits in our life. And we're like, man, I can't seem to kick smoking, or I can't kick drinking, or I can't get out of this habit of just always sleeping in. I'm so tired all the time. And we realize, oh, the reason I'm having this problem is because life is just so stressful and I need a fix. I need a vice to get me through the day. The problem is out there, and I need something to fix that, and so I'm going to use, and I'm going to abuse, and I'm going to put things in my body, or I'm going to do things with my time to help mitigate the stress of the problem I'm facing. Some of us have problems in our lives because we've made mistakes. We may have made a series of bad decisions, and we look at those bad decisions and go, oh man, I really wish I hadn't done that, I regret that, but you know, if only someone taught me not to do that, if only my parents had raised me better, I wouldn't have done that boneheaded decision. I have these problems because someone didn't train me better. And then we can kind of just boil it all down to, well, life's just pretty miserable, and I'm having these problems because I have a really bad set of circumstances that I'm just facing. And you know what the problem is? problem's the world. The problem's the government. And the problem is all the people in society. They're causing all this chaos in our world. Oh, I just can't take it. They're the problem. We will look at the problems in our lives and be very quick to go, it's my spouse. It's my kids. It's the government. It's society. It's the economy. It's my boss. It's my coworker. It's my neighbor. The problem is there. The problem is out there. And I'm facing these problems because of things out there. We continually blame others for our problems, but rarely do we see those problems go away simply by blaming other things. Amen? We're going to be looking at the book of 1 Samuel. And today we're going to be examining different passages where King Saul feels that the problems he's facing are the fault of someone else. Let's look first at 1 Samuel chapter 13. And in verses 7 through 13 is kind of where this story is. And I'm just going to give us a quick little summary of what's going on here. Saul is going to fight. He's going to fight the Philistines. And before the battle, Samuel instructs Saul that before you go out and fight, I need to do a sacrifice for the Lord to bless the army and to give you God's favor before you go into battle. And Saul goes, okay, sure, fine. And so Saul is sitting there waiting with the army, and they're waiting for Samuel, and then Samuel's taking a little while to get there. And the army starts to get a little bit afraid and a little bit bored, and they start to walk away. And Saul goes, all right, Samuel's not coming. I got to do this myself. And so he takes the animal, and he slaughters it himself, and he does the sacrifice himself, and he goes, all right, sacrifice is done. Time to go to war. And Samuel shows up and says, what have you done? That's in verse 11. And catch this. This is Saul's reply to Samuel in verse 11. He says, when I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, well, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. Saul blames the army for leaving. He blames Samuel for not showing up on time. And there's a consequence to these actions. Samuel says to him, you're going to lose the kingdom because of this foolish decision that you've made. You had a problem with the Philistines. You're going to have an even bigger problem now. We jump to chapter 15. And here, Saul again is about to go into battle. And before he goes into battle, he's instructed by the Lord through Samuel that before you go in there, you need to understand that once you have conquered the Philistines, you got to put everything to death. All the animals, all the people. You need to kill their king. You need to make sure nothing is left behind. Destroy it all. So Samuel goes in, they have their battle, they have victory, and then they start to keep some of the animals. Saul spares the life of the king. And Samuel shows up and is like, what have you done? Sound familiar, right? And this is what Saul says in verse 21, and then we'll look at 24. Actually, let's go to 20 first. In verse 20, Saul says to Samuel, I did obey the Lord. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. But the soldiers, they took sheep and they took cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Samuel doesn't like that and says, you're done as king now. And then in verse 24, Saul says to Samuel, I have sinned. I have violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive me my sin and come back with me so I may worship the Lord. And so what Saul is saying to Samuel is, well, like, I tried my best to follow your instructions, but the people took the spoil. And he tries to cover it up by saying, well, we were just going to sacrifice them anyway. And then he blames his army for making him feel afraid and basically says, well, they caused me to do this. They made me do this. I had no choice. So Saul blames the people for the problem, for not doing what the Lord instructed. And we see that Samuel makes it clear there's a consequence. You're losing the kingdom. You are done as king. Someone else is going to replace you now. The problem got bigger. The problem did not go away. And then we jump to chapter 28. Saul has made a series of bad decisions, and he has lost the kingdom, he has lost the crown, and he knows that David's going to supplant him at this point, and he's really afraid, and he's really nervous, and he basically goes, well, God's not giving me anything. I'm going to go see a medium. And so he goes and sees a medium because he wants to get some clarity as to what's going on in his life. And so he goes to see this medium, and this medium brings back the spirit of Samuel, which we don't know. Anyways, brings back the spirit of Samuel. And Saul says here, 28:15, Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul's response is, I'm in great distress. The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has turned away from me. He no longer answers me, either by prophets or by dreams, so I've called on you to tell me what to do. And so Saul is seeing again this problem with the Philistines. He's seeing the problem with what's going on in his life, and he's going, you know what? If only God would do something about this, I wouldn't be in this mess. And he blames God for the problems that he's in. He blames the fear towards the Philistine army towards the problem he's in. And again, there's a consequence. Samuel tells Saul that Israel will be handed over to the Philistines, that his sons will die, and that he will die the very next day. The problem just continued to get bigger and bigger. Blaming other people didn't make it go away. It got worse and worse the more he blamed other things and other people. So this is the real issue that's happening here. It's not that everyone else is the problem. It's not that the army is the problem. It's not that Samuel's the problem. It's not even that God is the problem. You know who the problem is? Saul. Saul is the problem. He spends his entire time as king blaming others, blaming the circumstances that he's in, blaming God for his problems. He shifts the blame off himself and onto others. Did you know that blame shifting is one of the oldest sins recorded in Scripture? If we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, one of the first things that happens is that when God confronts Adam and Eve after they've sinned and taken the forbidden fruit, he looks at Adam and says, what have you done? Similar to Samuel, right? What does Adam say? The woman made me do it. So God looks at Eve. What have you done? Why have you done this thing? The serpent made me do it. And again, the blame is shifted off of themselves and onto someone else. And you know what's interesting? is that in other parts in Scripture, the Bible actually doesn't allow us to get away with blaming others for our problems. It's not like God just takes the side of Saul and goes, yeah, Saul, you're right. Like, your army's a bunch of fearful idiots. Samuel's just like procrastinating. Yeah, Saul, you're right to feel that way. Yeah, Adam, that Eve, she's a dummy. She shouldn't have done that. Yeah, Eve, that serpent, man, what a mistake that was. God doesn't take the side of the others that we're trying to shift the blame onto. We see this repeated in Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. It says, the word of the Lord came to me. What do you people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The fathers eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote me this proverb. For every living soul belongs to me, the father as well as the son. Both alike belong to me, and the one who sins is the one who will die. You see, what was happening there is that the Israelites were blaming the decisions made by their forefathers. Oh, if they hadn't done what they'd done in Egypt, if they hadn't done what they'd done when Saul was king, we wouldn't be in this mess. And God is saying through Ezekiel to the people, you can't blame the past. You can't blame your forefathers. You can't blame other people for the problem you're in. If you sin, you're at fault. You're guilty. You're the one that's going to die. Jesus supports this idea in Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 to 5. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. In other words, you can't blame other people for the problems that are in their life. There's something bigger going on with you that you need to deal with. And then lastly, in Romans chapter 2, verse 1, it says, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. When we try to shift the blame, it doesn't work. We're still guilty of the same thing we're pointing at others for doing. This is the real issue. And this is what's going on with Saul. Saul has spent his entire time as king of his kingdom, blaming other things, blaming other people for the problems that he's facing. He doesn't learn his lesson. He doesn't know that you can't do this. He doesn't realize you can't get away with this. And so he loses everything. And so here's our main point for the day. Blaming others won't fix the problem if you're the problem. You can look at your spouse and be like, man, they don't listen to me. Man, they're causing me all these problems. You may have some justification for feeling that way and thinking that way. But actually, part of the problem is you. Maybe you're not listening. Maybe you're not being as much of an equal as you expect them to be. The problem is not just your spouse. The problem is also you. Your kids. They're being disobedient. They're doing all these things at school that they shouldn't be doing. And you're blaming them. You're the parent. How are you raising them? Are you paying attention to them? Are you disciplining them? The problem's not just your kids. The problem is you. Your money. Sure, the economy sucks and tariffs and taxes are high, but what are you spending it on? Are you managing it well? How are you contributing to the problem of money that is in your life? Are you wasting your money on junk when you should be saving it, investing it better, tithing it, making better, wiser decisions with it? You have these bad habits in your life you feel like you can't kick, and you're like, man, life is just so stressful. I need these things. No. You lack discipline. You lack the wisdom to be able to get through the stresses of life without a fix, without a vice. The bad decisions you make, well, if only someone had told me, if only my parents had done a better job, maybe. But ask yourself, have you been impulsive? Have you been impatient? Have you been unwise? Have you not asked for help? You see, we can look at these problems in our life, whether it's our marriage, our kids, our jobs, our money, our decisions, all these different things, and we're so tempted to want to shift the blame to other people or to other circumstances and other things before we actually look at ourselves first and go, what am I doing wrong? What am I contributing to the problem? What can I do to fix it within myself? Because blaming others doesn't fix the problem when you're the problem. No matter how much time and energy you spent blaming, nothing's being done to fix it. You're just blaming. Blame, 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 blame. Nothing fixes. Nothing changes. All that happens is you continue to perpetuate this cycle in your mind where it's not me at fault, it's other people. So we got to stop blaming others if we want to see the problem go away. So how do we do this? What are the steps we need to take so that we become less of the problem and the problems start to go away? Number one, we need to take responsibility for our actions. In other words, we got to stop playing the blame game. How many of you are just guilty of playing the blame game all the time, right? Oh, no one wants to be honest this morning. We play the blame game, don't we? We blame others. We blame our spouse. We blame our kids. We blame their teachers. We blame the government, all these things. We got to stop playing the blame game. We got to start taking responsibility for our own actions. Just imagine if Saul had done that. If Saul had been like, oh, you're right, I should not have done the sacrifice myself. Oh, you're right, I should have wiped out that whole army. Oh yeah, I should have listened to God. It's not the army's fault. It's not Samuel's fault. I'm at fault. What if Samuel actually took responsibility for his actions? Would he have turned out to be a better king, a different king? I think so. Number two, we need to apologize to the people that we've been blaming, whether we've been doing that to their face or just internally in our own heart. Because here's what I found is that the more you blame another person, the worse that relationship gets. That relationship gets wounded. It gets broken. It gets fractured. And how to get that relationship healed and restored is to stop blaming them, but to also apologize for the amount of blame you've been putting on them and not taking for yourself. We got to apologize to the ones that we've blamed again and again and again and have hurt them. And then lastly, number three, we got to change our behavior. We got to change the things that we are doing that's causing the problem in the first place. If we're the problem in our marriage, we got to be a better spouse. If we're the problem when it comes to how our kids are behaving, we got to be better parents. If we're the problem when it comes to our money, we got to make better decisions. If we're the problem with the decisions and the habits and the things that we're doing, we got to become better disciplined. We got to change our behavior so that the problems we're seeing start to go away. So we got to take responsibility, we got to apologize, and we got to make changes to our behavior. Because if we continue to blame others, it won't fix the problem because we're the problem. And so we need to take steps to fix the actual problem. The worship team's going to come up and lead us in a few songs. And as they do, I just want to share this final thought with you. Because we hear a message like this and we might feel stabbed in the heart, like, oh man, I feel all this weight, I feel all this guilt, I feel all this pressure now because I realize, oh, I've been doing all this blaming and I have not taken any responsibility for myself, and now it all hits you and you're like, I don't want to deal with this now. I just want to stay playing the blame game because that's easier. And I don't want to do anything else. I don't want to make those changes. I want you to know that if you take these steps of taking responsibility, of apologizing and changing your behavior, you'll actually start to see a difference in your life. And here's what I mean. When we stop blaming others and we begin owning our mistakes, we see our relationships with those people shift. They become more positive. Our marriages become healthier. Our coworkers respect us more. We become more admirable to the community. Oh, look at them. They don't blame other people. They take responsibility for their actions. I like that they do that. I want to be like them. When we stop blaming others and begin owning our mistakes, we see a shift in our discipline. We're able to make better decisions. We're able to kick bad habits, and we're able to grow in wisdom and maturity. And when we stop blaming others and begin owning our mistakes, we have greater influence and greater authority for God's kingdom. Amen? People want to follow us. We become a better example for people to follow. We lead better. If you want to have your relationships healed, your marriages, your friendships, relationships with coworkers, and so on, you got to stop playing the blame game. You got to apologize to them. You got to take those steps. If you want to see better decisions and better discipline in your life so that you're not making bad decisions and you're kicking bad habits, you got to take responsibility. You got to apologize. You got to make changes. And if you want to have greater authority and influence for God's kingdom, for us to be a church that goes out into this community and transforms it for the sake of Jesus' name, we got to stop blaming ourselves for the issues. We got to take responsibility for them. And we got to let Jesus do that work in us so that people see the change in us. Our spouses see the change in us. Our kids see the change in us. Our coworkers see the change in us because we're no longer blaming others, but we're responsible and therefore more influential in our community for God's kingdom. But if we continue to blame others, it's not going to fix the problem we're facing, because we got to admit, we're the problem. So let's take those steps. Let's be responsible. Let's apologize. Let's make those changes so that we can have this better life that God wants for us.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.